T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Not apparently rabid and shocking enough, but that's okay. Anyway, glad to have you with us this afternoon at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and 106.3WORD.com, and also 101.5 FM in Anderson for that southern part of the Upstate listening area where the signal comes in pretty well down there. I have a chance to listen to that. Again, to refer to our previous caller, I'm sure that Evan is a very committed conservative, but he's staking out a pretty narrow slice of turf if he finds Jim DeMint to be a liberal. That's not a defensible slice of turf, and so I'm afraid I just had to disagree with him in that regard here. Let's see. I forgot the key word this hour, time, T-I-M-E, time, okay? Alrighty. Well, Jimbo, I was shocked to learn that you are such a flaming liberal, LOL. Well, that guy is proof that the conservative side has the occasional wild-eyed nut job. I began to know we were in trouble when we found it impossible to shut up and listen to anything else than his own lips flapping. Well, Evan is a very passionate individual, and I wouldn't call him a wild-eyed nut job, honestly, but I would say that he is possessed of a rather extreme definition of conservatism. Again, he linked me in with Jim DeMint, and I'll be honest with you, I'll take that as a compliment any day of the week. Okay, texter talking. I'm going to get back to this one about where the impeachment trial is. Let's see. Any thoughts on the State of the Union address last night? I'm not sure what that means. The State of the Union address is February 4th, and last I heard, it was still going to be February 4th. Although Speaker Pelosi, of course, the way this works is the House Speaker extends an invitation to the President, and the House Speaker said that the President was welcome to speak on the date previously agreed, February 4th, or to speak after his impeachment trial. And the President apparently has decided to speak on the 4th anyway, for what it's worth. So, okay. Again, I don't know what you mean about any thoughts from the State of the Union address last night. State of the Union will be February 4th, as far as I know. I haven't heard that it was changed in any way, shape, or form here. Jimbo, the other caller, was trying to say that the 16th Amendment, Congress should have had the power to lay and collect taxes and apportion among the states. The definition of income is profiting game work for a living is not profit and game. It's a value exchange of value for value, not income. That money is ours to keep, not the government. Taxation is slavery when it comes to labor. Well, okay, whatever. Jim, if you're a liberal, I'm the Pope and I ain't Catholic. Well, okay, very good. Texter says, Jimbo, while I share some of Evan's concerns about the Constitutional Convention, there is no doubt in my mind that you are conservative. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And I share concerns about the Constitutional Convention as well. This one is pretty well laid out as to what it will try to do, and it will try to propose amendments which will limit the power of the federal government. I share that goal. My concerns about the Constitutional Convention are that inherent in the entire process is the fact that much of what they recommend will never get past 38 states, because we have more than 13 very liberal states out there who love the idea of an expanding federal government. So, for what it's worth. Let's see here. What was that one here? Listening to Schiff, it seems, and first of all, which was an unfortunate thing that you're doing, I feel very sorry for you. But listening to Schiff, it seems that a lot of Trump's advisors don't agree with him and are willing to say it. No wonder he doesn't inform them as to his intentions. Well, let's see. You know, I have no problem with letting his advisors testify up a storm. We'll find out. Trump waited until the polls, unquote, showed Biden could beat him, the same polls that had Hillary beating him. Please. I think that the Biden should have been gone after, frankly, earlier also, for the record. again, it was only this impeachment concern and this focus on Ukraine that really brought Hunter Biden to the fore, the first that most of us ever heard of it. And I would like to thank the Democrats for pointing out Hunter Biden, and by inference, of course, his dad. I would like to thank them for that, but it hadn't been pointed out to me before the Democrats pointed it out. So, yeah. And in terms of being an opponent, let's not forget that Biden was playing coy about running for president for a long time, long after several other candidates had said, I'm running against Donald Trump. And Biden was, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Oh, I'm not sure. So, again, he waited a long time to even decide to run. But I don't see any reason to think that this was the only reason. I mean, we have a treaty with Ukraine, and it obligates us to, in fact, look into corruption. So we're looking into corruption. Well, what's the most corrupt single example of Ukrainian-American business dealings that you can name? If there's one more corrupt than Hunter Biden, I'd love to hear what it is. We should go after that one, too. Anyway, all that you are hearing from the Democrats today is, again, a rehash of what they have already said up to this point. I had really wondered, did they have something? And no, it is interesting to see that they don't. Jimmy calls in from Easley this afternoon at 4:12. Good afternoon, Jimmy.
Yes, sir. I mean, one thing I ain't never understood, how whoever the House is, whether it's Republican or Democrat, could refuse the president and let him give the State of the Union, because the buildings belongs to us, the people of the United States.
Yes, but nonetheless, it may belong to, quote, us, but it's under the management of the House of Representatives, which chooses a speaker, and that's Nancy Pelosi. And that's the way it has always been, that the speaker makes the invitation. I would note, by the way, that for well over 100 years, about 100 years, the president didn't give a State of the Union address. The president sent a written message to Congress.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we pay taxes and the stuff. It would appear the president of the United States, whether we like him or not, he is giving that speech to tell us the State of the Union. No certain member should be able to refuse the rest of us of that pleasure, ever what we want to call it, because of who he is and who, even the Senate belongs to us, the building. We pay taxes. Never have understood that.
Well, I mean, it does, quote, belong to us, but it's under the control of people that we elect. And I'm looking for the exact clause here of what the president shall do, but the president shall from time to time inform the Congress as to the State of the Union. Now, that's a paraphrase here, but it's in this. Here we go. Article 2, Section 3. He shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. So there, that's Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution. Doesn't say it has to be in person, Jimmy. And as I said, for about a century, it was not in person. Tom Jefferson didn't like giving speeches, and he started that. And I think it was like Woodrow Wilson before we got back to the speeches. And funny, the giving of the speeches coincided with the rise of radio. What can I tell you? Presidents love to hear their own voice. But anyway, I mean, nothing, of course, obviously, to keep this president from making a speech or sending out a tweet. I mean, if we want to know Donald Trump's opinion, we don't have to wait for him to go to Capitol Hill to give it. But anyway, I see your point. If you've got more, stay on the line. But right now, we must take a brief break at 4:15 at 106.3.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And welcome back this afternoon. I don't know if Jimmy actually stayed on the line, unfortunately, but let's try. Jimmy, are you still on the line? Jimmy and Easley. He is gone. Well, okay. It's good to know that. Anyway, it's now 21 past 4 at 106.3 WORD, and Jim Bohannon here for Bobby Mack today. I've been informed of the schedule, by the way, for tomorrow. And again, the schedule tomorrow will be Tara in the morning. I'll be Vince, then Rush will be long, and then Tara will be back for Bobby Mack tomorrow. So now you got it. There you go. 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line. 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. 71307. All right here. I was noting some thoughts, again, since the Democrats are just rehashing the same stuff over and over again. We can talk about impeachment if you so desire, or we can go any further into Article 5 Constitutional Convention. But I was just noting some things about red flag laws. This is a subject which, of course, has gotten considerable play. It's gotten play after every time that there's a shooting somewhere. And the idea, of course, is to grant law enforcement to do what legal precedent has rarely permitted, forcefully enter homes and confiscate lawful firearms without any evidence of a crime. Now, you stop and think about the essence of one of these laws. I'll repeat that. It allows law enforcement to forcefully enter homes and confiscate lawful firearms without any evidence of a crime. All right. This has been led by a number of people, including, I might add, there are Republicans. Lindsey Graham has had some good things to say about the notion. Such a law takes a bite out of the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable search and seizure. It would let the government override the Second Amendment and the 14th, which requires due process based on equal protection under the law. Now, the trigger for such confiscatory power is not that the person committed a crime with a firearm, but rather that someone fears that he or she might do that. Okay. This is, of course, a legitimate concern. However, you don't just go storming into this cavalierly by writing a law with unfortunate consequences. Again, no one ever successfully cleared a minefield by putting on a blindfold and snowshoes and stomping forward. Any reasoned view of responsible government will recognize that there will be times law enforcement should act, at least, to prevent a crime from occurring, especially one likely to cause harm or death. But the question here, the big question, the giant question, is how and under what circumstances the government may so intervene if we are to remain a nation of laws and not of men. Preventive government action has to be consistent with and not undermine existing constitutional provisions, including the Second, Fourth, and 14th Amendments and others. Now, since the February 2018 Parkland, Florida mass shooting, there have been 17 state-level red flag laws adopted, which are constitutionally defective to one degree or another. Many would permit non-law enforcement individuals to apply for and obtain a gun confiscation order. Some are so permissive as to allow an order to issue based on evidence offered by telephone. all permit the granting of an order without opportunity for the targeted individual to be heard. That's what's called due process. You have to stop and think about just what we're talking about here. We are talking about a process by which, well, any kook could presumably. You know anybody in your life who doesn't care for you very much? I've been fortunate that I don't really know of anybody right off the top of my head that doesn't really care for me very much. But I have in the course of my lifetime, I've known a few people who I would not wish to have sit in judgment of what I may or may not do, because quite frankly, I don't trust them. And beyond that, I don't think that society should trust them. And again, when you enter into such an area, and I understand the fear that a lot of people have, they don't want somebody shooting up a school. Well, you know, surprise, none of us want people to shoot up schools, right? But think before you act. That's something that's very important. All these laws are designed to allow courts to issue these orders of confiscation in situations involving, quote, extreme risk. That's pretty much the trigger. It's a threshold inquiry that should be whether the standard by which such orders are measured meets constitutional muster. In other words, precise and clear to individuals who might be affected. One particular constitutional law expert, Jacob Sullum, says the standard underpinning all of these red flag laws are deeply suspect, ranging from anybody's guess to inherently vague. Again, collateral damage matters. Doing more harm than good matters. Most of these laws were adopted in the aftermath of Parkland, of course, and more are being actively considered in the wake of El Paso and Dayton, and goodness knows every time there's been one, you lose count. You lose count. But legitimate concerns have been raised about whether red flag laws are even necessary or whether they would have prevented the most recent mass murders. Those are two very important points. There are already laws out there that deal with this issue. And would they have prevented the most recent mass killings? Well, consider the significant evidence that already has been available to law enforcement officials at the state, local, and federal level that the Parkland shooter posed an imminent risk, and the firearms laws already likely had been violated. There were already laws. Existing laws provided sufficient basis on which authorities legally could have taken steps to stop him. Now, with regard to the question involving the more recent tragedies, evidence seems to support the premise that available evidence at the time would not have been sufficient to stop the murderous rampages. So you're talking about things that can have negative impact on the rights of the people of this country, and wouldn't even have solved the problem. Red flag laws would likely not have prevented recent mass shootings, and in fact, unnecessarily, considering the robust powers already available to government, then why should we support them, considering the many ways such laws undermine constitutional protections? They're not effective. They have more collateral damage than they do answers for the problem. And these are serious questions to be considered. So nobody wants to allow people to shoot up schools or what have you, but let's think this through before we go blindly ahead. I'm just saying. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, 106.3 WORD. It's 429. Afternoon, all. Thank you for being with us today. at 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line. And we are the Upstate's talk station, as if you did not know. A person who has used the Ingalls Advantage talk line to their advantage is Pat in Union. Good afternoon, Pat. Welcome.
Thank you. I was watching some of this stuff on the news.
My sympathies.
About president not being able to make monetary gain.
Yeah.
What did Clinton do when he freed that mobster at the end of his term? You know he had to get paid off by the mob to let him out of prison.
Well, you know, we've always kind of wondered. I don't know for a fact, but we've always kind of wondered, haven't we?
Yes. And with this impeachment, I go back several years. I can't remember. I remember a little of it because it was right in your face, 24/7. The Rosenberg trial.
Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about the trial of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg for spying?
Yes. Yes, sir.
What about that case?
They were executed, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
And then I heard later on, I don't know if it was just wind blowing or what, but they were found innocent later?
No, they've never been found innocent. In fact, there was once the Soviet Union collapsed and the old KGB files were opened up, corroboration was found that they were every bit as guilty as everybody thought they were.
Oh, all righty. Then what I heard was just something blowing in the wind.
No, they were guilty, and again, as I said, we always wondered. The evidence seemed pretty strong, but the KGB, the files indicated that in fact, they were prime members of the Soviet spy ring in the United States. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I always wondered, always bothered me what I had heard. Okay, thank you.
Well, yes, thank you for your call. Appreciate your thoughts. At 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. I have to wonder what Republicans will be saying in response to what we've been hearing over and over and over again from Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler. They do have leather lungs. You got to give them that. Boy, they've got leather lungs. My goodness. And they do love to hear themselves talk. I don't see any need, frankly, for the president's defenders to take the same length of time to say all the reasons why this doesn't add up to an impeachable case and repeat it over and over again. I would hope that they just dismiss it in maybe one telling. Granted, they've already done that. But one more couldn't hurt. But there's no need to go over and over again what is obvious to all concerned. So we'll see. One thing that I find interesting is that Chuck Schumer has pretty much taken off the table the idea of trading back and forth witnesses. You give us John Bolton and we'll give you Hunter Biden kind of thing. Schumer, to quote him, that's pretty much off the table, unquote. So that's interesting. They want witnesses, but they don't particularly want these witnesses, not Biden's, because a lot of Democrats, I think, are realizing now we're getting very close to the Iowa caucuses. And by March the 3rd, that's Super Tuesday, and 2/3 of the delegates needed for nomination will be chosen on Super Tuesday. And at this juncture, it's looking more and more like Joe Biden may be their nominee. And see, this whole point was designed to beat President Trump. But if in order to get witnesses in there before the Senate who will hurt President Trump, you are also forced in, dare I say it, a quid pro quo, to allow Republicans to have their witnesses, and they include the Bidens, and that destroys your candidacy, then that's not a deal worth making. And again, this may not be a particular example of shining statesmanship, but it's pretty smart. I'll give Chuck Schumer that. Now, if the only way we get John Bolton, whatever he may say, is by allowing Hunter Biden or Joe Biden and or Joe Biden to be sworn in and placed under oath where you can't weasel out of questions other than taking the Fifth Amendment, then that's a smart move on Chuck Schumer's part. Rather than destroy our likely ticket we'll just pass on that, which I'm sure must be very galling to them, because they just simply wanted, of course, batting practice. They wanted to be able to take more swings at Donald Trump, but the idea that somebody could swing back, particularly at their likely nominee, that's a real problem for them. And so, as I said, I have accused Chuck Schumer of being a lot of things. He's a hot dog and a big mouth. And the most dangerous place to be in Washington is anywhere between Chuck Schumer and a microphone. That's an old adage that goes back many years when he was a House member. But he's not particularly stupid, and he realizes that this is not a particularly good deal. All righty, let's talk to Derek in Gray Court. Good afternoon, Derek.
Hey, good afternoon, Jimbo. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Hey, just two comments. First of all, Evans, or that guy that called, I'm like you on the conversion of states or convention of states. One of the things that we the people have a problem with is we keep electing these same idiots that don't want to follow the Constitution. So if you want to look at who's to blame, we all need to look in the mirror.
Yeah, but of course, you know, the idiots are in other districts and other states. I mean, you know, we don't elect people like that.
Oh, trust me, I know. I'm originally from Oregon, and, you know, Oregon is a red state. The only blue in that place is Portland, and they're a bunch of quackheads.
Well, the part that's west of the Cascade Mountains, but that part is the majority of the population. That's why governors and senators tend very much to be quite liberal. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at it, everything from the Cascades over is all Republican. Yeah.
No, there has been talk. There's been talk, Derek, of changing the boundaries up there, making one state that would include Portland and Seattle and all the parts to the west of the Cascades in a liberal state, and then taking Spokane and all the parts of Oregon that are east of the Cascades and making a conservative state. That's been suggested.
Well, I would agree with that. I was a teacher for 5 years in there, and it was ridiculous. But real quick on the on the red flag law.
Yes, sir.
My concern is this. I'm a CWP holder, and I think they got to have some legitimate proof that you would have to be a problem. Because if it wasn't Jimbo, Evans could turn you in, and they would be coming to look for your gun if you had one. Just saying, if a man and a woman get in an argument and it's a bad divorce, he's an outdoorsman, and she goes, hey, I think he's a threat. There's just too much open lanes there.
Yeah, and for people go off the deep end like that, there ought to be real penalties for essentially making a false police report, this type of thing.
Well, it's the same thing with Kavanaugh. Anybody that wants to come up and lie about that, there ought to be some laws. She should be going to prison. I mean, and the whole thing with Schiff, we've got to come to a point where we say, if you're going to lie and you're going to go on national TV and lie to the American people, you ought to be held accountable, and we ought to start popping them out of the Congress.
But amen to that. If you want to stay on the line, Derek, you're welcome to do so. Yeah. But we got to take a quick break here. We're going to be back with more at 106.3 WORD. Jimbo for Bobby Mack. Stay tuned. Afternoon, all. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. It is 10 minutes before 5 o'clock. We were talking to Derek in Gray Court about a number of issues, red flag laws, and his time as a teacher. He has a concealed weapons permit and got disgusted with the liberal turn of the state of Oregon, where I was actually born, by the way. My father was stationed there during the war. No, not the Civil War, during World War II, okay? Anyway, are you still there, Derek?
Yes, sir, I am.
Very good. Okay, I just did, we were coming up on a break. I wanted to give you a chance to finish up here before we moved on.
Well, I just, you know, so many people are saying that the red flag laws are right, and I just don't agree with them. It's just common sense. How many of these people actually got called in and said, hey, someone's going to go out on a mass shooting? The guy that everybody knew was going to do a mass shooting. The police knew about it. The teachers told them about it, and the police did nothing. Until this country starts getting on the same track and the federal government starts telling states, you're not going to get any federal income if you're not going to enforce the ICE laws, if you're not going to start enforcing the laws of the land, then we've got no hope. People are going to break the laws. Congressmen are going to be crooks. And all you can do is vote, think logically, go with your conscience and what you believe in. And, you know, as being a teacher in Oregon, it was a very liberal state, very liberal in the union anyway. And that was one of the reasons I got out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very hard for a conservative teacher to come across and tell kids that what you're hearing and what you're seeing is completely different than what's out in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the biggest thing is you got to educate your kids in the home, and you got to explain to them why it's important that we have the Constitution, and why you vote the way you do. And we don't do that enough.
No, we certainly don't. In some cases, we don't even do it at all.
No. I mean, they took economics out. When they start taking economics and how to balance a checkbook and that out of the school, those skills are gone.
Oh, yeah.
And it's scary. I mean, I had one of my students call me back 10 years after he graduated. He's a CHP in California now. Right. And he thanked me. He said, you know, in college, I was teaching other kids how to balance checkbooks. And it just shows you that there's no responsibility in the educational system anymore. It's all about what you can say and what you can, you know, what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, what you can parrot without actually learning anything. Points well taken, Derek. Thank you for fighting the good fight, sir, and we welcome you. Glad to have you in the upstate. Thank you very much for that. Wanted to talk to Chuck, who's on his cell phone this afternoon. Good afternoon, Chuck. Welcome. Or not.
Oh, with you finally. First time.
Oh, glad you joined us, Chuck. Thank you, sir.
Listen, I have a quick question. I hope you don't think it's a stupid question.
I'm
but
sure
I'm
I won't.
Anyway.
No, I'm sure it's not stupid. Maybe my answer will be stupid, but your question is fine.
Well, all this garbage that can constantly is happening with Trump, you know, about them, or like they're trying to impeach him. And I heard, I think it was this morning on the radio that.
Are you there?
It's gonna be, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. You were saying you heard something on the radio this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just heard that, you know, he's going to, we all know that eventually he's going to be cleared of all this. But, you know, the Democrats are going to bring all this back up. Try to impeach him again. What can Congress or Trump himself do to stop?
Well, actually, the rules in the Constitution are so vague and so slim that if the Democrats really wanted to, they could lose this impeachment fight and turn right around and promptly impeach him again. Let's say they lose all this in March. They could impeach him again in April and go through this whole process, and maybe they lose that one, let's say, by September. They could impeach him in October. I mean, that would be kind of self-defeating. They'd be writing their own death warrant for the November election. But you could, in theory, keep impeaching Donald Trump all the way through a second term. Now, again, I don't think the American public, the voters, would take kindly to that. But there's nothing to stop them from trying it if they really wanted to.
You know, that's ridiculous. Trump's going to get elected again. We all know he's going to get four more years.
I would say that he is the betting favorite at the moment, yes.
But that's just ridiculous for four more years of constantly putting up with us and us too, listening to that. There's got to be something that can be done, or somebody will stop it.
Well, the only thing that can be done is for enough voters to say, enough. We're going to stop electing people who are doing this. That's the only thing that can be done. There are no limits in the Constitution.
Well, you and I both know how our voters are. They keep electing the same old one. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, I'll put it this way. There are people out there who hate Donald Trump. They don't know why, except that, oh, he's evil and racist and all this other stuff that they couldn't explain if their lives depended on it. But they are all for their House and Senate members that they've helped elect who are going after him. And we need to remember that. And the idea that he's a shoo-in for re-election, no, he's not a shoo-in. He can lose, and I don't want him to.
Well, no, me either. But last thing, I guess the only thing we can hope, and I don't know what the odds on this is, if we win back the House, maybe we won't have to put up with this anymore.
Well, now, if Republicans win back the House, then that's over. If they win back the House, the Republican House is not going to impeach him. No, well, I mean, that would be really helpful. Win the House, keep the presidency, keep the Senate. That would be really helpful.
Exactly. Thank you for listening to me and taking my call.
Well, I appreciate your call and your listenership, Chuck. Thank you very much. Good man. 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line. 1-800-347-1063, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. 71307. Haven't checked that here in a few minutes, and we'll do so when we come back. But in the meantime, a delight here to be with you. Jim Bohannon in for Bob today. Tomorrow, the way it works is I'll be Vince, and Tara will be Tara and Bob tomorrow. Okay? This may require a scorecard, and there'll be a quiz. All right? Thank you much. Appreciate it. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. Always do. That's the whole point of being 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We'd like to hear from you. So it's just a good thing. And we're delighted to have a chance to speak with the folks out there. So join us. Give us a shout. We'll bring up some more about impeachment and probably red flag laws, too, because that kind of got a burr under my saddle. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, 3 before 5.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.